and welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives and give us a glimpse into their creative process. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and in this episode, I'll be talking to lead singer and songwriter Oscar Pollock and drummer Hayden Evans from the British band Sundara Karma. They released their debut record, Youth Is Only Ever Fun in Retrospect, in January of this year. And speaking of youth, the band is young. They formed just a couple years ago, and the members of the band are young. Like, they're all in their early 20s, but their music sounds way more fully formed and developed than you might expect from such a young band. They play, like, super melodic and catchy indie rock that has this theatricality about it. Like, honestly, they remind me of Arcade Fire in all the best ways. Maybe one of the reasons the band's sound is so strong is because Oscar and Hayden have known each other since they were kids, like little kids. Like, they've known each other since grade school. I talked to them briefly about it after our interview, and they kind of communicate on like a non-verbal level. So I don't know, maybe that allows them to get straight to the heart of making good music. Anyway, I got to speak to them both when they were in town for South by Southwest, the giant music and film and interactive festival that takes over Austin, Texas every March. And we actually met on the roof of Whole Foods, which was having its own mini music festival, because that's how South by Southwest is. There's music everywhere. Like, there are mini music fests at the grocery store. Anyway, I got to talk to them about music and songwriting and all the good things. So here they are, Oscar and Hayden from Sundara Karma.
I'm going to go for a Nick Drake song, but I'm finding it hard to pick one.
It could just be Nick Drake, or it could be an album. People talk about...
Could I do Brighter Later?
Of course. Yeah,
Drake.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never felt magic, crazy as this. I never saw moons, knew the meaning of the sea. I never held emotion in the palm of my hand. I felt sweet breezes in the top of a tree. But now you're here. Bright
in
my northern sky.
And the reason for picking that is it's over the past few months, it's really helped put the importance of authenticity and sensitivity, I guess, into, you know, songwriting for me, which I've kind of might have shied away from sometimes. But so it really helps listen to that record. Also, it's very inspiring in the sense that it helps me focus on pushing the corners a little bit and not kind of being afraid to go into uncharted territories.
And all the friends that you once knew and left behind, they kept you safe and so secure amongst the books and all the records of your lifetime. What will happen in the morning? When the world gets so crowded that you can't look out the window in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not actually that familiar with that record. I'm not really that well versed in Nick Drake. Like,
okay.
Can you kind of give me like a description of what he's doing on that record?
Yeah, it's his second record, and what was his second record, and it was probably the most fully fleshed out in terms of musical arrangement. Which I tend to like his first record was more folky, more singer-songwriting, which is nice, and obviously the lyrics come through quite, you know, they're at the front, but I just like all the arrangements and stuff. It reminds me a lot of Death of a Ladies Man by Leonard Cohen, she did with Phil Spector, I think.
Now the man she wanted all her life was hanging by a thread.
Yeah, I really like the arrangements, and there's a lot of beautiful melodies in there which accompany the beauty in the lyrics. Like, I think I need both. I do tend to need both.
So you, when you hear music, you listen for like lyrics and
melody. I like there to be both. Yeah. Which I'm sure most people would say, but...
I mean, is it a record that has been in your life for a long time, or is it a record that you just discovered recently?
It's a record that I've discovered over the past few months, which obviously it's been around for ages. But I haven't fallen in love with a record like that for a really, really, really long time. But before that, it was The Antwood and everything that they were doing.
I gotta say the juxtaposition between The Antwoord and Nick Drake couldn't be larger.
It's the same feeling though. Of course, they're really different, but for some reason it's the same feeling of just pure inspiration. Like the things that I've fallen in love with tend to be things that make me want to improve whatever it is that I'm doing. I think that's the way I consume music.
Where were you when you heard it? Do you remember?
No, because it was a slow process. I remember someone once told me ages ago to check out Nick Drake and listen to 30 seconds of a song. This is when I was like 15, I think, and I didn't think it was for me. And then I just left it for ages and ages and ages. And then I think it might have been just before we went on our last UK tour. I had, you know, some time to write, and where my mum lives is in quite a, like, it's by the countryside, so it's in the countryside, and there's a field which is kind of just a walkway, which I like to go and walk to if I've got a creative block or whatever. And I decided, for I don't know whatever reason, to start googling Nick Drake and reading about him. And though I found that there are a lot of similarities between like his surroundings, where he grew up or whatever, and what I was going through. So I just, that was that affinity. And then I just started listening to the music and I kind of understood it more, I guess.
Please give me second grace. Please give me a second face. Falling far down, the first time around. Now I just sit on the ground in your way.
Do you remember kind of like when you started listening to it, like what kind of feeling you got?
Yes, obviously he's a man who suffered a tragedy and died early due to, people say suicide, but it was like an overdose in sleeping pills, I think, is what happened. But I don't know. There's a connection that I think with the sensitivity, and it was the sensitivity that he was confidently portraying in his music. Hearing that created a shift inside me, or like a hit in some sort of way, because I genuinely haven't really heard lyrics like that ever before, and it's done with such ease. It really is, yeah.
So come ride in my streetcar by the bay. For now, I must know how fine you are in your way. And the sea, she was I. But she won't need to cry, for it's really too hard for to fly.
You said you had not particularly been writing from like a, or I think this is what you said, that you'd not been particularly writing from like a vulnerable and open place.
Yeah, well, I tend to story tell in my songs, but I guess put myself in it at the same time. Maybe that's more enjoyable, or I don't know, maybe some people would say it's where how I can be more honest. I don't know, but and to a certain extent, I think Nick Drake does that as well. But maybe I was wrong with what I said before, but I think it's a reminder of how high to keep the quality, I guess, because you can let it slip. You can become really comfortable with songwriting, and then that's when everything becomes really shit.
Well, and it strikes me that you started. So your record just came out in January.
Yes.
And so, which is a long process to write a record and record it and then wait for all the promo to happen and then wait for it to come out. So do you think this is part of your process of getting ready to start writing again?
100%, yeah. Like, the record's been done for such a long time. Like, it was done 6 months before we finished, I think. We finished it 6 months before it came out. Maybe even longer. So the second record's already got a lot of songs for it.
Do you think that... Have you been able to push yourself in a new territory because of this record?
100%. 110%. Yeah.
Do you think that it, like, reflects that openness that he... that you kind of hear in there, or that, like, it sounds like you hear a real vulnerability, you know?
Yes. Maybe that's a nice word. Vulnerability and authenticity.
And authenticity, yeah.
Yeah.
Authenticity is such a... It's such a tough line to...
Such an easy word to throw out there as well.
But it's also tough because, like, what is authentic today when you write a song may not be authentic a year... You know, you're not in the same place when you write a song as when you, like, perform it or when it comes out.
It's also difficult with authenticity because songs, like, authenticity can be subjective. It will change to different people's sense of what is authentic to them, whether they think something is authentic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it can be tricky. I guess only you know yourself. You know if you're cheating yourself. I think you do deep down.
Well, I guess the point is really, like, what's the point of faking it?
Absolutely.
Because people are actually, everyone's trying to figure out what it is.
It doesn't feel as magic as it, when you know when you're doing something that feels really real, it just has that magic to it. And you know if you're doing something and it's too tried and contrived, then it doesn't have that magic to it. And you always, like, got to chase that sparkle.
Are you stepping away from storytelling then?
No, if anything, I'm bringing that back in more than I ever have. Yeah.
Really?
Which is kind of contradicting everything I've just been saying.
Now, Hayden?
Well, I suppose in the same way that Oscar described listening to a Nick Drake album, I remember, like, when I first listened to Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys, it was like, wow. I got into a band more than, like, I ever have.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
My favorite record ever, and I don't think anything will ever top it. That's how much I appreciate that record.
Now, is it a record that you found on your own? Is it something that you got from your parents' collection?
Yeah.
Jeez, you're young enough where, like, your parents probably didn't grow up listening to the Beach Boys.
Yeah, no, they didn't at all.
So how did you come across Pet Sounds?
Well, I remember stealing a song off, like, my friend's hard drive. Like, I was ripping music off him. Don't do that. And, like, one of them was a Beach Boys track, and then I ended up listening to, like a greatest hits first, and then I started listening to albums one by one, and then I read, like, an article in Mojo or something about Pet Sounds, and I listened to it, and I was like, well, it's, like, it was a crazy record that I've never heard anything like, and I wouldn't really... Growing up listening to, like, My Chemical Romance and stuff like that, I never really expected to get into that sort of music.
I know.
know perfectly well I'm not where I should be. I've been very aware you've been patient with me. Every time we break up, you bring back your love to me. And after all I've done to you, how can it be?
Well, I mean, what is it about Pet Sounds? I mean, I think that makes it the best record ever.
You know, when you hear a record and, like, you first hear it and you listen to it like from the outside and you just hear sort of the surface of the track, and then you get into it and then you can hear like every single tiny detail in it. That's what I love about the record, and you still find things like hidden in there. Like after listening to it 100 times, you know, I love records like that where you, like, it's like so detailed and like there's so much to it, like most people won't be able to hear everything in it, you know.
And you're a drummer, and that's actually a very interesting drumming record in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I suppose I'd listen to it like that rather than lyrically or melodically.
I mean, do you still listen to it? Do you still go to it for, like, inspiration?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I listen to it probably, well, at least 2 times a week still.
Really?
Like, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that might not even seem that regular, but, I mean, when I started listening to it, like, I would listen to it every day.
Do you have any particular songs on Pet Sounds that you fall down a hole with, like, that you just put on repeat and, like, can't stop listening to?
Let's Go Away for a While. Is one of my favorites on that record, and there's like no lyrics in it, you know, there's no words, and so I found that like one of the more interesting tracks on the record, just because there's no lyrics, you know.
So what's the feeling that you get then from the song?
The song feels like you're in a Disney film sort of thing. It's kind of arranged that way with those like these strings, and I don't know. It's really orchestral and just like odd.
And I think the way that he used the studio as like his, that was his instrument, was like the studio and everyone in it. Well, Brad, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. And this is Love Blood from Sundara Karma's Youth Is Only Ever Fun in Retrospect. And if you live in the United States and you'd like to see the band, well, you're in luck. They are touring this country through the end of April. I'll post their tour dates on the show notes page for this episode, along with the Spotify playlist featuring all the songs we referenced in this episode all the way through. And if you liked listening to Oscar and Hayden talk about music as much as I did, then please feel free to check out our archives on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. I mean, we've talked to folks like Tegan and Sarah and Britt Daniel and Alex Fischel from Spoon and Kevin Parker from Tame Impala, like loads of people. I mean, we have 77 episodes, so seriously, like a lot of people, about the songs that inspired and transformed them. And while you're there perusing our archive, we would love a rating or review, because ratings help people find this podcast. And really, that's what we want, for as many people as possible to hear these stories. Or maybe you want to share this episode with a friend, like hip them to the beauty of Sundara Karma and or Nick Drake and or Pet Sounds.
if you help get the word out about this podcast, then thanks in advance. And that's it. We have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Taylor Wallace curates our Instagram account. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern. You should check out her project, Keep Music Weird. Natalie Gaona is our marketing intern. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yes, it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat. Our handle is @thissongKUTX. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Austin Music Minute, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.